Hi, this is Jack Hartman, author of the USA Today Way, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, August 5th, 2007. And seems like a pretty ordinary Sunday. I mean, we broke the heat wave. The weather's still warm, but kind of nice. And no real big pending news since that old bridge disaster earlier in the week. And yet, there may be some kind of seismic shift going on in media, in what we're reading and what we're seeing, and again, the control of what we're reading and seeing, because this week, Rupert Murdoch's board allowed him to basically buy and take over the Wall Street Journal. And I think that all the details are being finalized, and I don't know if it's a necessarily done deal yet, but it sure looks like it's going to happen. And, I mean, considering the fact that Murdoch owns Fox and the New York Post, among many, many other things, it's quite a coup. And something I think really worth talking about, which is why we have on the phone with us tonight Jack Hartman, a.k.a. John K. Hartman. He's a journalism professor at Central Michigan University and kind of an expert on all these media and journalism sorts of things. He's the author of USA Today Way and USA Today Way 2, which I don't think have anything to do with the USA Today newspaper. We'll find out about that. We'll find out a lot of stuff from Jack Hartman. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Thank God. I'm good. So what was your best thought, when you heard that Rupert was going after WSJ?
Well, I figured he thought he had the situation wired. I think he felt that values of newspaper stocks had been going down. I think he felt that if he made a big enough bid, it would scare the competition away, and then it would just be left to him to sweet talk enough members of the Bancroft family into selling, and that he would get the prize. And that's essentially what happened.
Do you know how much he paid for it, or would pay for it?
Well, I've heard $5.5 billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B is what it's going to turn out to be, and that's an enormous premium. The stock was selling for $37 a share, and he offered $60 a share.
Ooh.
So we're looking at, what, a 60-65% premium.
Why is Wall Street Journal so important to him? I mean, it's the Dow Jones, it's a business newspaper, but why?
Well, first of all, he's got a large ego, and I think he fancies himself owning the most prestigious business publication in the United States, if not the world. Number two, I think that he feels that it will enhance his media empire, and it will make other properties that he currently owns, such as the Fox News Channel, such as MySpace, perhaps even the New York Post, Fox television stations that he owns around the country, and other satellite communication, other newspapers and things that he owns in other countries around the globe. I think he thinks, and also MySpace. I think he thinks that owning the Wall Street Journal will help him make more money and add to his audience in those particular properties. And in particular, he is starting something called the Fox Business Channel in October. And so I believe that he feels that, owning the Wall Street Journal will give that business channel instant credibility and help him generate audience. And help him do with business news channels what he did a few years ago with news channels, and that is to have the number one rated channel. You know, Fox News Channel came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden it's got twice the audience of the cable news network.
And maybe also they do like an advertising media buy, like you give the advertiser the option of having an ad in the Wall Street Journal at the same time an ad on Fox Network or something like that.
Right. Yeah, selling across platforms, and also news gathering across platforms, because you can use the same person to gather the news for your newspaper, for your websites, for your television stations, and so on and so forth. Now, of course, his target in business news channels is the number one rated channel, which is CNBC, and to a lesser extent, the Bloomberg
network. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, here's something that I saw a quote from you that said, I mean, your opinion on all of this was that it would be a sad day for journalism if Rupert were to get the Journal, because you say, quote, Murdoch's journalism is biased to the conservative Republican cause. It's not even really journalism as we've known it, and it's a sad day for people who care about journalism, and a sad day for a country whose, quote-unquote, democracy depends on journalism. Are you being overly, cautious or gloomy on that, or do you really feel absolutely that's the truth?
Well, you know, I mean, you can learn a lot about someone by studying their record. And Rupert Murdoch's Fox News Channel is a biased operation. It's a it's like Rush Limbaugh on television. And so his record basically is when he's taken over media properties that he has begun to color their news coverage to try to use the news report more as a persuasive tool than an informative tool. Now, it's important to understand that the Wall Street Journal is really two publications. You have the news coverage in the Wall Street Journal, and you have the editorial page coverage in the commentary in the Wall Street Journal. The commentary in the Wall Street Journal is very, tends to be conservative, tends to be right-wing, tends to be aligned with the Republican Party and business interests. But the news coverage in the Wall Street Journal has always been considered a very fair, very straightforward, very unbiased, and very complete. And that provides a valuable service to the country and to anyone that reads the Wall Street Journal. And I think that if Murdoch starts to change that will be unfortunate.
Huh. You know, I've heard, though, that in personal life, as it were, not that this matters, that he is a fairly liberal person, and that when he took the New York Post, he made it conservative just because he felt that's what the market needed, because the Times would be so liberal and it would be filling a gap that people would buy, not necessarily because he was a conservative person. Have you heard that?
Well, again, you'd have to look at his other properties. Excuse me, sure. What he's done with them. And I think that, now, all that being said, you know, Rupert Murdoch is also a very practical politician. He's a very practical businessman. You know, when Hillary Clinton came on the scene, was elected senator from New York, he was very much opposed to her. But now that she's been reelected as a senator, and now that she is a serious candidate for the presidency, you find that she and Rupert Murdoch have kind of made amends. She's contributed to her campaigns.
Oh.
She doesn't refer to him as the devil anymore. So he is a very practical guy, from the political standpoint, and will bend his political philosophies if he sees some economic gain and some gain of influence.
Speaking of influence, one of the other things that I've been prodded to ask about is, you mentioned Bloomberg, and I've heard also that that's really the golden egg, the idea of going one-to-one against Mayor Bloomberg's properties and really filling up the airways with more news channels and you know, being the number one over him. Do you think that's the real goal?
That's what Murdoch's looking for.
Yeah.
I've never really observed him feeling like he's in competition with Murdoch. I think that that he's targeting his efforts against MSNBC, which is the number one rated news channel. And I really haven't heard about any feud with.
Well, not a feud. I mean, more like more like I want to be bigger than him. It doesn't have to be a feud. It just can be like,
sure.
Hey, you know, I want that market share that Bloomberg has, Bloomberg News, Bloomberg Media.
I think Bloomberg Media has got a niche that just can't be beat, personally.
Oh.
I am privileged for the price of $13 a month to be able to listen to the Bloomberg News Channel on radio, and it's a phenomenal service.
What makes it so special?
Very intelligently done, very helpful. Doesn't overshoot. I mean, I'm not a I pay attention to the stock market. I do some investing and so on and so forth, but I'm not an expert on those. You know, I don't know all the vocabulary terms and everything, but the layman can listen to Bloomberg radio channel and really be informed about what's going on in the business world as well as current events. So I don't think there's much that can be done to dislodge the Bloomberg niche. I think Murdoch is after CNBC. I think he wants to be number one. When you get to be number one, you get exponentially more advertising revenue. And I think that's what he's, that's what he's after.
And the other thing that we were talking about in pre-interview stuff was this whole idea of buy and dump, which he's done before. In order to hold on to it, but not with any real long-term plans.
Right.
Could you explain?
Does anybody think Rupert Murdoch is buying the Wall Street Journal because he wants to make it a better newspaper?
Well.
Because he wants to serve the public better? No, he's buying the Wall Street Journal because he wants to make more money. He wants to expand his influence, and he wants to do more things, to enhance his his empire. I think that what may happen to the Wall Street Journal is the same thing that happened to TV Guide, and the same thing that happened to DirecTV after Rupert Murdoch bought them. After he got what he wanted, He sold them off. You know, he bought TV Guide when he was trying to promote the Fox television channel when it was starting up 15 years ago. And it worked. In fact, the other networks were furious at him because he was using TV Guide, and using it disproportionately to talk about what was going on in the Fox television networks. DirecTV, of course, I think he really thought that DirecTV was going to give him a lot more than it turned out to give him. But you can be sure that all the channels that Rupert Murdoch controls have long-term contracts with DirecTV, long-term sweetheart contracts that were signed with DirecTV before he sold it.
But does that also mean that, like, TV Guide was not particularly profitable while he was using it to build Fox?
Absolutely. In fact, he lost money when he sold TV Guide, but my guess is he made a lot more money off of establishing the Fox television network than he lost on TV Guide. And again, he's a very shrewd individual. Nobody can see inside his mind to know what the exact point of purchasing the Wall Street Journal is. People can only guess. And I'm guessing that he has no particular attachment to the Wall Street Journal. It's just another part of his empire that if it ceases to be highly useful to him, he'll get rid of it.
And he's allowed to buy it. I mean, it wouldn't be, what do you call it, a monopoly. I mean, could he buy the Daily News if he wanted it? Or
The rules on cross-ownership or owning two or more newspapers in the same market are pretty lax nowadays, particularly in a highly competitive market like New York where you have several daily newspapers that are competing. So I don't think you'll run into any problems there. Now, he could... I think some people are going to question whether he should be allowed to own the Wall Street Journal and a television station in New York City, which he would.
He owns the Post and Fox in New York City.
Yeah, but the Post is a relatively smaller newspaper, relatively less of an economic factor than, say, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. I think the bigger you get, the more the government takes a look at, is there a conflict? But generally speaking, the direction of the United States is away from prohibiting newspapers from owning television stations in the same market. So I'll be surprised, and of course the government is run by the Bush administration. The FCC appointees are Bush or George Bush appointees. And I doubt if they're going to crack down on Rupert Murdoch, who is through the Fox television network, through the Fox News channel,
a big friend and
supportive of the Bush administration.
We're talking with Jack Hartman about the whole big media thing with Rupert Murdoch buying the Wall Street Journal and all of that stuff. But I want to find out a little bit about you. I know that you're a professor at Central Michigan University in journalism, and you also got a whole passel of degrees from Bowling Green State University. You kind of went there from undergrad all the way through your PhD. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Cool. And it was all in journalism, right?
Well, no. My bachelor's is in journalism in the 60s. My master's is in radio, TV, film, broadcasting in the 70s. And my PhD is in the broader topic of communication in the 80s. So I have three different degrees in three different departments in three different decades.
And you're one of the rare people who got a good job from a communications degree. I applaud that.
Well, I think it's because of my journalism background. I mean, communication is something worthwhile to study, but sometimes it doesn't have practical applications.
Right.
But journalism, is a very practical field, very connected up to the newspaper and the magazine industries and so on and so forth. And so it's a much more of a vocational, I hate to use that term, but it's more of a professional, preparing you for a professional career field than general communication is. So I think the combination was very helpful to me because I can discuss things, I guess, across communication disciplines.
And
it's very helpful. It's been very helpful to me in my career.
And we were talking, obviously, there was some level of politics involved in talking about Murdoch. I didn't realize that you were a delegate to the Democratic National Convention.
That's right. My wife and I were both elected as delegates, pledged to John Edwards to the Democratic Convention 3 years ago in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And interestingly enough, somebody called up the Central Michigan University Public Relations Office and say, oh, you should have mentioned in your news release that Hartman was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, therefore he's some wacky liberal and shouldn't be allowed to criticize Rupert Murdoch. I got a bit of entertainment out of that.
Well, do you feel maybe that you would be biased in any kind of reportage that you do? Because, you know, Edwards is not exactly your most right-wing conservative candidate.
Well, you know, politics is one thing, and my comments about journalism are another thing. And I tend to keep them separate.
Cool.
And I can be very critical of Democrats, liberals, newspapers. I really call them as I see them. You mentioned at the beginning of the program that I've written a couple of books. Those books are actually about the national newspaper, USA Today.
Oh, they are about the paper. Okay,
they're about
cool.
The national newspaper. And they're really the only two books out there that take an objective look at USA Today. You know, there are a lot of people that hated USA Today because it was different. Because maybe it wasn't as serious as newspapers should be.
Mm-hmm.
I really took a very straightforward, even-handed look at USA Today. Hey, here's what's good about it. Here's what was good for journalism. Here's what's good for the newspaper industry. Here's what might even be good for journalism education. And here's the things that aren't so good.
Well, it's good because you get it free in the hotel.
I'm very proud of the fact that even though I have very strong beliefs about different subjects, that I can be very objective and very straightforward in my analyses of things.
And there is one other thing that I noticed just doing some research on you, and I found this absolutely fascinating, that talking again about your college years, you did a lawsuit against the university that you graduated from three times. And,
yes.
I mean, this is, tell everybody what it was about.
Well, basically, it was the third time I had applied for a position at the Bowling Green State University Department of Journalism. And on each occasion, a less qualified individual was hired, a less qualified female was hired for the position. And the third time it happened, I decided to investigate more fully. First two times I was disappointed, but I figured, that's life.
Mm-hmm.
But the third time, it seemed to be a recurring pattern of less qualified individuals being hired. And I determined in my investigation that not only was this individual less qualified than I was, in fact, didn't even have her PhD, but she was also a member of a minority. And further investigations showed that her credentials really didn't, might not have even met the minimum criteria for being hired for the job, let alone stacked up next to mine. And so I did an investigation and filed a complaint, and went to trial in the federal court in Toledo, and the jury ruled in my favor.
So you got an awards settlement for reverse discrimination.
That's correct.
That's amazing.
And, of course, that was not the best thing that I ever did as a Democrat because these people, of course, started to think that, that I wasn't didn't believe in the Democratic causes. I do believe in Democratic causes. I do believe in equal rights. I do believe in affirmative action. But I don't believe in quotas.
In quotas.
This was a quota hire. In fact, in the investigation, I got a document signed by the dean, signed by the leaders of the university, the hiring authority of the university, saying we will hire a minority.
Wow. And that's kind of illegal, yeah.
The position. This is what we call the smoke, what I refer to as, and my attorney would refer to as a smoking gun document. So, you know, it wasn't, this was such a clear-cut case that even people who were very, very skeptical, very critical of my, you know, taking on this case, after they saw the evidence, said, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
This is so clear-cut.
And also, I mean, I read somewhere that although you got a pretty nice little six-figure settlement, you said you would put 4 years into it, and that the money that you got, nice as it was,
quite turn out that way. We ended up, because the judge didn't like the case and would not follow through on any of the findings, for instance, I wouldn't even order Bowling Green to be more careful in its future hiring policy. That's just for openers. And then the judge said, well, you know what? I think we may need to have another trial. We may need to have five more trials. Finally, I had to contemplate, do I want to spend another 5 years of my life on this matter? And I decided I didn't want to, so the matter was settled out of court.
Oh, but
it's what we call a moral victory.
Okay. Sometimes you have to settle for those.
Well, you know.
And we will.
As my attorney said, you know, you set out to prove that you were right, and you proved you were right.
All right. Hey, some people don't even get that, but we.
Well, and I don't recommend it for most people. It was a lot of, tension. It was a lot of pressure. Yeah, you know, there's nothing like going up on the witness stand for God, country, and a defense counsel that is trying to, make you make a fool out of yourself, but I don't recommend it for most people. I'm the kind of person that when there's a principal involved and you push me just too far, that I am going to I'm going to fight back.
Well, I'm trying to think of a clever segue out of that into thanking you for being on the show. But I can't. So
No clever segue is necessary. It's been my pleasure to be on your program, and it's a pleasure to be part of the discussion about this. I've been very lucky over the last 10 years to have been quoted in the New York Times and USA Today and the Washington Post. In fact, the only major publication I have been quoted in the country is, of all things,
the Wall Street Journal.
And probably based on my comments about Brother Murdoch, there's an even a less infinitesimal chance that that's going to happen. But I'm grateful for the opportunity, and anyone who wishes to follow up with me on any of these topics, just certainly feel free to get in touch with me at Central Michigan University.
Do you actually have an email or a web address?
Yes. It's the email is john.hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N, @ Dacor, and that's dacor.net. And my website is www.dacor, again, that's dacor.net, /John, J-O-H-N, .Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N.
Could that be any longer? Just Google John Hartman there.
That is actually the best way to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, really, really, actually, all jokes aside, for being on Dave's Gone By, for giving us your knowledge and your experience and bringing that to bear on all that's going on in media and journalism now. Thanks again, Jack Hartman.
My pleasure, Dave.